Paul writes in the fifth chapter of Romans as follows: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel at its heart, at its root, is a manifestation, a revelation, a display of God's grace, his abundant grace, his mercy, his love towards sinners. It's a manifestation of his love towards sinners. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, it shows forth his grace, his love towards sinners like you and I, who first hated him. Towards those who were his enemies, as verse 10 tells us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we hated him, when we despised him, when we had our backs turned against him, when we shook our fist up against the heavens, when we had no time for God, when in our hearts, with the mob, we cried out, crucify him, crucify him, away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. When we were enemies, God commended his love towards sinners, towards his enemies, towards his people. Though they hated him, he gave his Son as a sacrifice. He commended his love towards them, to them, by giving his Son for them. Yes, the gospel displays God's great mercy, his long suffering with sinners, his forgiveness, his boundless, boundless love. A love without beginning, a love without end, a love that you cannot measure. You cannot measure it. It's without top, it's without bottom. It's inexhaustible. Because God himself in his very being, in his character, is love. As John tells us in 1 John 4:8, God is love. This love, his love, is in his very character, is in his being to love. And to display his love and to show his love. He is a God who delights in showing mercy. He abounds in grace and love for sinners. Though he be holy and cannot stand in the presence of sin, though he is righteous and righteousness is at the heart of his character, he is pure, he is perfect, he is holy, he is just. Though he be righteous, he is nevertheless a God of love, who delights not in judgment, not in sacrifice, but in mercy. And because man sinned, because we sinned, God did not destroy this world utterly because of its sin and cast it out and say, I cannot dwell with sinners and judge it as his justice demands. But he purposed and delights in showing mercy. And by offering his son in the place of his people and taking their sin and making his son to be it and laying their sins upon his own son and charging their guilt against his own son and sacrificing his son in their place, judging his son as if he was them, destroying his own son instead of the sinner, God delivered sinners from judgment, from wrath, from death, from hell. He showed them his love. He showed them his grace and his mercy. Who is a God like unto this God that pardoneth iniquity? Where is there a God amongst the gods of this world, the religions of this world? Where is there a God like this God who gives himself as a sacrifice, as an offering, in the place of his people in order to spare them what their sins have earned, in order to deliver them from the death that they have deserved, in which they have plunged themselves in their own rebellion, in order to deliver them from their own condemnation? Where's a God like this God that lays down his own life that sinners might live? God is love. And he commends his love toward us, his people, sinners, guilty wretches. He commends his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you considered his love? His mercy. His grace. The character of God that stands before a guilty world and says unto all this world, behold my son, look and live. He displays his Son as his offering for sin. I gave my Son as an offering for sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be ye saved. In the darkness of this world, in the midst of our rebellion, every one of us having rejected Christ and despised him, despised God, despised his gospel, God continues to declare the gospel. He continues to shine forth the light. Every day in the morning, the darkness is cast aside, the sun shines, and the light of the gospel is displayed as God lifts up the name of Christ in the midst of the generations. And in displaying him, God commends his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. Believer, while you were yet in your sins, Christ died for you, for your sins, for your rebellion, for your rejection, for your unbelief, for your iniquity. He took it all. He bore it all. And he washed you clean in his blood. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Oh, what love he commends toward us. What love. What love this is. Not just love as men love, as women love, where they love those that love them, where we love that which we find lovable, where we love those who love us in return. But God commends his love to those who hate him. He comes unto those who put his Son to death and says, I gave my Son for you. I gave my Son for you who hated him. As Paul says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Someone might die for someone they love. And peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. There are those who've given their lives to protect others. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself for his enemies. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. When we hated him, he set his love upon his people when they hated him, when they despised him, when they shut their ears to him, when they sought their own way, their own pleasure, their own glory. He loved them and gave himself for them. And this message, this gospel, displays this unmerited grace, this unmerited favour, this mercy, this love, which none of us have sought and none of us deserve. For we were enemies when God gave his Son in the place of sinners, when he gave his Son for the ungodly, when God's Son, God himself, died for sinners. Not only did the Father offer the Son, but as God, as one God in three persons, God Himself gave Himself for sinners like you and I. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know this love? What is your response to this love? Are we indifferent? Are we indifferent to a God who gave His all? Who gave His all that sinners should live? Would we rather pursue what we see in this hateful world around us? Would we rather seek love from those who let us down? From those who only befriend us for what they can gain from us? This world is a world of dog-eat-dog. This world is a world in which we soon discover that even those that we count as friends and loved ones can let us down. How many find themselves, even amongst the crowd, to be lonely? How many find themselves with none that they can truly trust? How many are betrayed? The love you find in this world is rare and fleeting and invariably self-centered. Nothing like this love for sinners. Yes, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet sinners. By nature, we are so different from this God. God is love. And we, by nature, are full of sin, full of enmity towards God, enmity towards the truth, enmity towards His gospel, full of hatred and unbelief, full of resistance to a God who might rule over us, to authority. We resist all authority by nature. We fight any that rule over us. And ultimately we fight against God. We're so self-centered. We do that which brings us what we want. We seek after our own things, our own pleasure. We have no time for God. We're anything but righteous. We're anything but loving by nature. Full of unbelief. Paul says later in Romans in chapter 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. By nature, we do not want to know. We have no desire to discover God. We have no desire to love God. We have no desire to serve God. And we're so blind to what we are by nature. Our opinions of ourselves are so great. Though our sinful, rebellious nature bubbles up to the surface on a daily basis, though we respond even to others in the world when somebody crosses us, when somebody opposes us, when somebody refuses to do what we want them to do, when somebody crosses our path, we will so easily oppose, so easily argue, so easily contend. Our sinful nature is there to be seen on a daily basis, and yet we cannot see it. We look at everyone else as being the trouble, and we consider ourselves to be so self-righteous. Any wrong that we do is the result of somebody else's failing. You caused me to do this. You caused me to react like this. I'm the product of their making. We find fault with everyone but ourselves. And ultimately we shake our fist at God and say, I'm like this because thou hast made me like this. We never own our own guilt. How unloving we are by nature. We see this throughout the scriptures. We're all sinners. We're all sinners like Adam, the first man, who in innocence, having been given all things by God, walking with God in the Garden of Eden, in innocence, he did that one thing that God said, don't do. He turned from God to take of the fruit that God said, don't eat of that tree. He saw a tree that promised wisdom and knowledge. And he sought wisdom and knowledge of his own, apart from God. He sought his own glory. He went his own way, as we all have done. And in so doing, he plunged into sin. Himself and the whole human race, we all in Adam turned from our Maker. We all went our own way. Just as Adam did, so we've done. We turned our backs upon God. We read of every character in the scriptures. Even those who knew God, we see their iniquity. Abraham, whom God called out of Ur of the Chaldees. How he lied about his wife Sarah. Jacob, whom God loved. What a deceiver. What a liar. What a schemer Jacob was. There was nothing in Jacob for God to desire. And yet when Jacob was a sinner, Christ gave himself in Jacob's place in love for Jacob as an offering for his sin. David, that great king and psalmist, was an adulterer, a liar. He had Bathsheba's husband killed in the battlefield. How often he went his own way. How often he turned to his own wisdom. And yet how God loved him. Peter, that disciple, who was with Christ throughout his life, throughout his ministry, he followed him for those years as Christ went about preaching the gospel, healing the sick, making the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He saw Christ's miracles. He heard the gospel from Christ's own lips. He promised to follow Christ even unto death. And then he denied him 3 times with curses and oaths. Left to himself, he was nothing. Like these, we are all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. We've all gone out of the way. We're all become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Our throats are like an open sepulchre. Our tongues have used deceit. The poison of asps is under our lips. Our mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Our feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in our ways. And the way of peace we have not known, because there's no fear of God by nature in our eyes. We don't fear God, so we go our own way and we multiply our own sins. which is why God sent a law, which when we are measured up to, we are found to be guilty. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. If God in his love should put you under his law and show you what you are in comparison with his righteous demands, you will discover something of your sin, something of your guilt, something of how far off from God you are by nature. But God be pleased not to leave us there, not to leave us in condemnation, not to leave us under the condemning letter of the law, which finds us all out, but to bring us to that knowledge of Christ in the gospel. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Has God brought you to see his love in the manifestation of his righteousness in Christ at the cross? Has he set forth his Son at the cross in your place, as Christ hung there in the darkness, bearing sin, bearing the guilt of his people's sins, bearing the outpouring of God's wrath? Has God brought you to see Christ by faith suffering in the hours of darkness for sin, drinking the cup of God's wrath? Did he drink it in your place? Did he hang there upon the cross in the darkness for you? Did he bear your sins in your place upon the cross? Did he drink that cup of God's wrath for you? Has God commended his love towards you, in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you? Did he hang there, bearing your sins, your iniquity, your unbelief, your rejection? Did he suffer that you might go free, that you might be spared, that you might live? Have you seen his love in Christ? Our problem by nature is we don't know we are sinners. We don't see a need for salvation. We don't accept it. We're steadfast in our unbelief. We're steadfast in our enmity towards God. We're steadfast in our rejection of the gospel. We're steadfast in our rejection of his Son. We reject his love time and time again. And when God comes in his gospel and says, "Behold my Son, look unto him," and we hear of Christ in the darkness, suffering by faith in the darkness because of the sins of his people. When we hear of him by nature, we turn aside. Or we spit upon him. Or our hearts still cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And there as sinners, while we pass by as sinners, caring nothing for him, Christ says, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Is it nothing to you that I hang in the darkness for sin? That I die in the place of sinners? Is it nothing to you? Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? And as we pass by, God points to his Son. And God commendeth his love toward us, towards his own, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As Christ hung upon the cross in the darkness, has God come unto you by his Spirit in his gospel and said unto you, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? See my love for sinners. See my grace. See my mercy. See my Son. Yes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for his own. Christ died for us. How did God show forth his love? How does he commend his love? By offering his Son in his people's place. God shows forth his love by dying for a people he loves. By dying for a people he loves, for us in particular, those he died for. He died because he loves them. He gave his Son as an offering for sin. God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, died for sinners. For those who hated him, for those who were his enemies, for those who were without strength, for those who cared not for him, for those who would not have him reign over them. As the parable says, the citizens of this kingdom, of this king, sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Are you like that towards this God that commends his love in offering himself as a sacrifice for sin? Has your heart cried out, I will not have this man to reign over me? John 15, we read, this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Do you hate him? Even though he died for sin. Even though he gave himself as an offering for sin, for sinners like you and I. Even though he manifests his love towards you who are not worthy of it, for towards us who are guilty wretches, towards us who rejected him, even though we've put him to death in our hearts, even though his love is so great, so free, so merciful, do you yet hate him without a cause? 1 John 4 we read, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here is love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And even though we hear of this, and even though we know this, our hearts by nature hate him without a cause. And yet God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love. What manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? What boundless love? What inseparable love? Paul writes in Romans 8, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, what a love God's people, these his elect, know. If they've been found in this love, if they know Christ died for them, there's nothing that can separate them from it. It's eternal, it's everlasting, it's without a beginning and without an end. Nothing can pluck us out of his hands. What manner of love is this? It abounds. It abounds towards his people. He gave his Son for them. Then he will do anything to keep them. He will watch over them. He loves them eternally. No matter what circumstances we may be in, no matter what our state is, no matter how cold the believer's heart may grow, no matter how far off we may wander, no matter how low we may stumble, no matter how weak our faith may be, no matter how great our doubts may be, he loves his own, and he loves them to the end. He loves them everlastingly. He gave his Son for them. Oh, what comfort there is for us as believers in this. Consider his love. He commends his love toward us as believers in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself for us. He gave himself. He gave his all. Then he will keep us to the end. No matter how great my unbelief, no matter how great my sin may be, his grace and his love is greater. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, grace abounds. There's nothing we can do to separate ourselves from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If we're his, if he died for us, if he's brought us to see him and to fall down upon our face before him and believe him and trust him, if he's shown us his Son and shown us his Son washing away our sins in his blood, there's nothing that can take away his grace. Nothing that can overcome his love. Nothing that can overcome his mercy. He commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the same today as it was then. His love abounds. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly. Are you ungodly? Are you a sinner? Have you rejected Christ and his gospel? Then see his love in giving himself for sinners like you and I. Has he commended his love to you by giving Christ in your place? Did he die for you and for your sins? Are you ungodly? Do you know his love? His love. Can you with Paul cry out, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul knew him. Paul had gone about persecuting the church, putting believers to death, having them stoned for believing on Jesus Christ. He hated Christ and he hated his gospel. And yet God met him and cried out unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And his eyes were opened to see his Saviour. And he came to know that when Christ died for him, when he was yet in his sins, he died with Christ. Christ bore Saul, Paul. That sinful man, Saul, was crucified with Christ, that Paul should rise again with him. He died with him, and he rose with him. And he lives with him. And the life which he now lives in the flesh, he lives by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, he says. Oh, did God in Christ die for you? Were you crucified with him? Did you rise in Christ? Your sins washed in his blood. Having his life, his faith, his love, his mercy, his grace. Can you with Paul say of him, he loved me. He loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.